My guest at this time is Christopher C. Horner. He is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and he also served on the landing team at the Environmental Protection Agency during the Trump transition. For the past 30 years, environmental activists have talked about human activity making the planet warmer. But is the new argument that we're keeping the Earth artificially cool? That's what we'll discuss for the next few minutes. And Chris, it's always good to have you with us. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Greg.
Monday at scientificamerican.com, and that's a site sympathetic to the climate change movement, we got an article that started this way, quote, "Pollution in the atmosphere is having an unexpected consequence, scientists say. It's helping to cool the climate, masking some of the global warming that's occurred so far. That means efforts worldwide to clean up the air may cause an increase in warming, as well as other climate effects as this pollution disappears. New research is helping to quantify just how big that effect might be. A study published this month in the journal Geophysical Research Letters suggests that eliminating the human emission of aerosols, tiny air-polluting particles often released by industrial activities, could result in additional global warming of anywhere from half a degree to 1 degree Celsius." So, Chris, we've been told for years that humans are creating greenhouse gases that are speeding up the warming of the Earth. Now we're hearing that this pollution and thus human activity is keeping us cooler than we'd otherwise be. So how do we interpret this?
Translated, it is, to put it gently, it is a more recent, if recycled, way of trying to explain how their lurid climate projections have not come to pass. So the backstory is, when they say the science is settled, and that's the mantra, you don't hear it anywhere else but here, and that's because they can't prevail in an actual, you can't demonstrate your hypothesis. In fact, their hypothesis has failed. It's less than a hypothesis. You test it in science against your experiment, in this case, observations, looking at how their models over the decades of fear-mongering have performed. And what we do know is that all of the claimed warming has failed to arrive. There seems to have been a several-decade-long plateau. Yes, we have El Niños and then La Niña years, but the projected warming hasn't occurred. That's important because when they say the science is settled, as I began, what they're saying is we agree in our computer models that there will be this fairly linear warming, and it will, if present trends continue, as the punchline always goes. That's what they agree upon, and of course you can model any scenario. It's the assumptions, stupid. If you know, why do you rob banks, Willie? But it's where the money is. Well, why do you model warming? Well, if you want me to model cooling, we can do that too. What they do is they just build in these assumptions that carbon dioxide, which is a marginal greenhouse gas, to which man contributes a marginal amount, that it somehow is this control knob of climate. That's why they got all these scenarios that were designed to impose what is a political agenda on people in the name of, don't even look over your shoulder, I can't explain the horror sign here, details to follow. So the models are wrong, and that's a very big deal, and it's a very big embarrassment. You could sort of look at it in the micro and say, okay, so every mild winter we've had, the New York Times will rerun a story that has been run several years, every few years, and it's called The End of Snow. You remember The Independent in the UK wrote, "Our children won't know what snowfall is," in the year 2000. Robert F. Kennedy said, "My children will never sled, and I used to as a child." And then just in 2014, The New York Times wrote The End of Snow. They do this every mild winter, and then severe winter returns with a vengeance and a great sense of humor, and they write that this is just because more snow in a warming world, the science is clear. That's an actual headline after, just a year after, no snow in a warming world, the science is settled. So what we're now hearing is the reason it's not as warm as we promised is because of aerosol pollution. It's something of a paradox for them, because which is it that you want to address? Do you want cleaner air? And that's not what global warming is about, by the way. Global warming is about controlling the reliable, affordable, abundant energy sources. We're not talking about, as a famous EPA memo I found said, make it about children struggling to breathe, because that's what people care about, and they don't care about. The polar bear stories aren't persuading people. As you know, polar bear populations plummeted from somewhere below 5,000 to nearly 30,000. So that one had to go. So that's the story. They're now saying, well, it would be my models, which I told you were okay, on which we were supposed to base economic policy, not with any projected climate impact, but anyway, because my models actually are wrong. That's what they're saying here. They're just saying my models are wrong, and this is my excuse.
Chris, you mentioned that at various times, especially when we have severe weather, whether it's tornadoes or hurricanes or cold snaps like we just had here on the East Coast right after Christmas, that more extreme weather, wilder swings in weather is what climate change looks like now. It's not just this steady, steady rise that's eventually going to become unbearable. So do you think we're getting to this now because they have a hard time getting people to buy that, or is there more substance behind it?
I think it's whatever is at hand seems to be the pattern, because if you remember, as I pointed out, I have a slideshow going through this. Every mild winter comes the end of snow headline.
Right.
And every severe winter, we have these headlines, and this is an actual one. More snow in a warming world, the science is clear. Right after saying that, of course, the science is clear, there'll be no more snow. Whatever happens, this is because of the – it's a non-disprovable hypothesis, which means it's a faith. And their religion requires them to reach for whatever happens outside the window. There was a line repeated by Mark Stein in one of his columns in the Telegraph years ago about quoting someone named Stephen Gibeau of Greenpeace saying, warming can be warmer, it can be cooler, it can be wetter, it can be drier. You see, that's what we're dealing with, which was a great telegraph. Do kids telegraph anymore? It was a great telegraphing of what they were going to do, which is whatever happens. And so it is, of course. You remember in 2005, we had a busy hurricane year. And Al Gore said, the future is here. We didn't listen. This is the new normal. And then we had, you know, God with a great sense of humor saying, all right, now try this on. And we went 11, 12 years without a major hurricane landfall hitting the United States after having been told, base your economic policy on my faith because the new normal is here. We didn't listen. And so the lack of hurricanes was somehow attributable to catastrophic man-made global warming. Which time are you lying, I suppose, is the lie. The increase in storms, the absence of storms, is it everything? Even when it's just right, Goldilocks, is that because of your faith, catastrophic man-made global warming? And, by the way, push all this aside. So they're engaging in this self-mockery, it seems, increasing over the years. Absolutely tone-deaf, self-unaware self-mockery. But nothing they've ever proposed actually would detectably impact the climate. This is something I come back to every time, because the rest is really just this. It's an increasingly bizarre sideshow. Gina McCarthy, who was the Obama EPA administrator in the last few years, testified that, no, there would be no impact on the world's temperatures from her rules. And then after Boston's most severe winter, 2 years ago, she said this most severe winter is because of carbon dioxide. And if you let my EPA rule stand, we won't have these storms anymore. It is this series of, look, which time are you telling the truth? I mean, it might be neither, but which is more close to the truth here? What is your actual position?
The difference here, Chris, seems to be that this time they're almost arguing against their own agenda, because basically they're saying we're all going to fry if we clean up the atmosphere and take stronger limits against different forms of pollution, in this case aerosols. So wouldn't that be arguing against their own economic agenda?
It is a paradox, but it could be a useful one. So we could ask them, all right, if we have regimes in place for whatever it is you want, sulfur dioxides, nitrogen oxide, name your pollutant, we've got a regime for it. That's why they redefined pollutant to include now plant food, carbon dioxide, which we all grew up knowing is plant food. They now are saying that it's this terrible climate change is really about air pollution and so on, but if we clean up the air pollution, it'll get warmer. Look, you've got rules in place everywhere to address this. They're better here than elsewhere, and when our economy is healthy, richer societies lard on more of these rules, and healthy, rich economies tighten the screws ever further each time the economy turns up. The public receptiveness to this is greater. But you've got these rules in place, then tighten them. Go through the process. You don't need an energy rationing regime for this. This isn't about that. You're talking about air pollution now. But at least with air pollution, A, people know you're not really talking about here. And B, in the rich world, at least you can have an impact. You can, you know, the real air pollution issue is the indoor air pollution, where you're denying, you're forcing people onto what we call biomass. The children are living in huts where they're burning raw coal, dung, or wood, and they do suffer from terrific air respiratory widespread problems, where you don't allow them to have gas or coal-fired, nuclear-fired electricity. But you can impact air pollution. You cannot impact the world's temperature. Their models agree on that. Nothing ever. You're talking about like 1900 levels or 18. The old PBS show about the House on the Prairie, not Little House on the Prairie, but prairie living. That's what you're talking about. Which, you know, the good old days of drudgery, disease, and infant mortality. What a throwback.
Chris, it's a fascinating twist in this debate. But as you've pointed out, this line of attack from the climate change activists has been around for a little while. It's just getting a little more attention now. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg.
Chris Horner is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute in Washington. He's also a veteran of the Trump transition landing team at the Environmental Protection Agency. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.